Welcome. You guys are in store for a lot of little parenting gems today. Some encouragement and practical takeaways, because as you will hear, that is the motivation behind Peter's book, is that I loved he used the phrase, I believe it was intensely practical, which is awesome. We love that around here. But it was really eye-opening to hear, I feel like gentle parenting is a newer term. And yet you're going to see this has been around for a long time. We're going back to the Bible, you guys, and how God outlines it. And it is beautiful and amazing. It really just helps us see the root of parenting in terms of dealing with challenging behaviors and how we love our kids and how we teach them to grow with a relationship with God and not just a checklist of rules. And at the end, he includes some inspiration from an unconventional source, which turned out to be a really awesome parenting tip. So listen in towards the end for a phrase from a Navy SEAL, actually, in a military term, and how that is so helpful for intentional parenting. So don't miss that. And his book is out today, Not Another Christian Parenting Book. And I believe it is free on Kindle starting today for like 3 days. So if you have that, like nothing to lose here, go check it out. So he is celebrating that. And I am celebrating that the monthly subscription box, monthly momentum that we've been talking about here for several weeks is finally live, where you can check out the June box that it is available to purchase. And it is a very short window so that I can ship it out to you. So you have this week to get that ordered, and I will have a special bonus to send you while you wait for it. So now I've got it set up where you can head to the link and it'll take you straight to sign up, mommadeplans.com/box, and you can purchase just the June parenting box, or you can go ahead and get a 3 month setup where you'll be all set for the next 3 months and the different themes that we have going on for June, July, and August. And of course, we'll keep going, but those are your two options. And I'm super excited to get this out. And like this shared goal of what Peter has as well is we end up taking in all this information, but have trouble implementing it. And so that is the whole point of this box. You're here listening on the podcast, you're getting tips and strategies, you're consuming all of that, which is amazing and helpful, but we have to go beyond just consuming the information. We have to act on it. And so that is what this box does, a simple way to do the work for you. I literally put it in your hands and you know what to focus on this month and see improvement and get out of survival mode. So I can't wait for you to have this massive shift in just even 1 month. So please join us, the Facebook group that goes with it, where you can ask questions and I will answer them. So you have support through this time, you're not alone, you have accountability and all of that. All set up. So it's all super exciting to just really have everything done for you. And we always need something fun, right? So I've decided every box is going to have a pair of fun earrings for you that you can keep or gift, whatever you prefer. So yeah, I can't wait for you to receive your box and enjoy. Again, mommadeplans.com/box. We're making it easier. And most importantly, we're making it happen. My name is Julie Redmond, and this is the Mom Made Plans podcast. Here we get out of survival mode with practical strategies that make mom life easier and more impactful. Now let's get into this conversation with Peter and having your eyes be opened to how God started gentle parenting. Let's get into it. I want to start out before your book was created. So if you will tell us the title of your book and a little bit there, and then just go into that preliminary work. And I feel like I just forget to ask God sometimes about parenting, to realize he's there as a resource for me and helping me with my parenting. So I'm curious, like, what questions you ask God for making this book of like, okay, God, what do you have to say about parenting and what should be included? So please tell us a little about the book and kind of some of the questions you had for God in making this.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So the name of the book is Not Another Christian Parenting Book. It's a little tongue in cheek, but, and the tagline, some practical resources for applying God's grace to your specific parenting challenges. And so really the heart behind the book is just to be intensely practical. So I'm a father of four, 16, 14, 4, and 1. So I kind of get to do it again with the younger ones. And the older ones are, a lot of my work is done there. It's kind of just, now they kind of just come to me for advice. But yeah, and so when I was raising the older two, I just made so many mistakes. And so I read a bunch of books and I just found, I just had the hardest time going from kind of these 30,000 foot principles in the books. So they had, I'd like nod along to the principles in the books and agree with the authors and they're making great points. And then it comes time to apply it and just everything falls out of my head. And I just kind of resort back to like the unhealthy patterns that I was trying to get rid of. And so I just kind of went on this journey of finding tools and resources and getting counseling. And there's just so many tools out there that I was not aware of and that counselors use. And I'm just like, why is this not more widely available? And why do you have to pay $200 an hour to find out about some of these tools? And then kind of just over the years created some of my own tools as well. And so that's what this book really is about, is providing those resources for parents to use these tools for just intensely practical so that they can apply these principles to everyday challenges. Because no matter how many examples you put in the book, there's always something that's that a parent is going through that is not covered. And so hopefully this will give them tools to be able to find solutions for those kind of things themselves. And so your question, as I was writing the book, there were kind of three main questions I was asking God that really drove the content of the book. So the first one, I was just asking him, God, how did you, so if you're our father, and if you're the father of the Israelites, the father of the church, how did you, quote unquote, parent the Israelites and the early church? So not just looking at specific verses about parenting, there's some good ones, but really the whole Bible is a story of how God disciplines and teaches and nurtures, comforts, just the whole gamut of parenting his children. And so he models how we as parents can be, he says about himself, abounding in love, slow to anger, and so gentle, grace-filled parenting. Yeah, so that was kind of the first question. And so that really guides a lot of the content in the book. Second question was, I didn't want to just raise good kids. I wanted to raise kids that really were in awe of who God is. And so that was the question. It was like, how do I do that? How do I raise kids that don't just follow the rules and well-behaved? And I mean, those are good things. Set them up for success in this life. But I also just want to facilitate and as much as I can, just give them just an awe of who he is, so that they really, truly worship him with their lives and really value him and center their lives around him. That's a big thing that I'm aiming for with this book too, is not just working on behavior, but working on the heart, and not just working on the heart in regards to behavior, but the heart in regards to worshiping God and showing them how amazing he is. And then the last one was, there's a lot of statistics on how people are leaving the church in such a rapid rate. And like the next generation, they're raised in the church, but they fall away. And I think a lot of that is, we just don't really prepare people for their faith to grow during hard times, instead of going into faith crisis and faith deconstruction mode. When you feel like God has promised you something and he hasn't delivered, a lot of times there's that temptation to just kind of flip God off and say, forget you, and I'm just going to do my own thing. And so I really wanted to address that as well, as how do I prepare them for hard times so that their faith grows during hard times instead of going into crisis mode and deconstruction mode?
Yeah, there's so many good aspects here. And I just wanted, in hearing you share that, I love that in writing this book, it wasn't just jumping to finding verses related to parenting, that you jumped straight to God and his heart and his character, to really get that complete person, and that where that it is a relationship. And so I love that that was the approach, and that we're seeking his character and his example, and that for your kids to also seek his character, not just to seek rules of being good and just like check boxes, but that you're seeking character. And the same thing, it was just like a common thread throughout of like in hard times and working in our faith, that we're remembering who God is and not just thinking about rules or check boxes. And when our expectations don't align, that we're always looking at who God is. And so I just wanted to pull that out for you guys to see that common thread of, yeah, that's what it's about, is to always look who is God in this and his character, and that I'm emulating that, because it can get confusing sometimes in verses and things to do and interpretations. And I think it's a safe bet to always seek God and who he is and find out more about his character and how he responded to his people and how he taught them and corrected them. And so I love that. And the one piece of this that I thought was really neat is that I know in our previous conversation that you found an awesome example in looking at, okay, how does God correct or have that discipline and showing love through it and patient parenting. And so I know there's a story from the Bible that I hadn't really looked at this way before, of kind of like a gentle parenting example. Can you share a little bit of that story in the Bible and how that correlates for you?
So I'd actually was I was listening to a Tim Keller sermon on this passage. So First Kings 19, and it's pretty familiar, or it happens after, I guess, a pretty familiar story if you grew up in the church. But basically, Elijah, he's this prophet, and at the time, there was just a lot of idol worship. I believe it was Baal. There was a lot of Baal priests and stuff with Queen Jezebel. She was kind of leading all that stuff, and so the Israelites were falling away from God and worshiping the wrong God. And so Elijah comes in with this just like bold, brave plan to just cause a revival. Basically, challenges them and says, "You put an altar over there, I'll put an altar over here. You call out to Baal, I'll call out to my God, and whichever one sends fire to the altar from heaven, that's the real God." And so kind of a crazy challenge. But it works. It happens. God sends fire to his altar, and the Baal worshippers, they couldn't get Baal to send fire to theirs. And so Elijah just kind of expects there to be this huge revival from that, but it doesn't happen. It ends up being that Jezebel basically puts a wanted ad for his head, and he gets scared and runs off and just kind of throws a temper tantrum. He's like, "God, this was supposed to go out differently, and I just feel like I'm the only one. I'm the last one that follows you." And just this totally just kind of like temper tantrum, emotional outbursts, pity party, whining, sounds very much like my kids, and well, me sometimes too. But and so paying attention to how God responds to Elijah here has been really helpful for me. So God's first response to Elijah is he provides him food, and so he sends an angel to give him food. And so it just kind of he comforts Elijah first. His first response is just to comfort him, calm him down. It's not that he's like condoning the outburst or the temper tantrum. It's just that he knows that we can't really instruct until we've calmed down, and so he's there to calm Elijah down. And then from there, he teaches Elijah, not through a lecture. So he uses an illustration, like he does the fire and the wind and the earthquake, and then he's not in any of those, but he is in this still small voice, kind of this whisper. And so he's kind of instructing Elijah that, yes, I'm powerful, and yes, I work in great, majestic, miraculous ways sometimes. But a lot of times I just work in kind of the small, gentle, everyday, changing people's hearts in the mundane, and so he's kind of teaching Elijah that lesson, that it's not about this huge revival. It's about kind of that gentle, gentle leading, gentle change. Yeah, and so he teaches that not through a lecture, but through kind of asking questions and through illustrations. And then the last part is He confirms Elijah's identity and his value as a prophet. He says, I want you to go back. I still need you. I'm not done with you. I've called you to do these things. So go and do the work that I have for you. I love you. I'm here for you. And it's kind of just kind of confirming, so after the instruction, it's confirming his identity and who he is in God. And so from there, that's kind of the framework that I built the book around. So the first tool in the book is that framework of comfort, correct, and confirm. And then I added in front of that kind of this check, and kind of just check your own emotions and check your kids' emotions, because we don't always, God knew exactly what was going on with Elijah's heart, but we don't always know what's going on with our kids' hearts. And so having that first step of kind of checking, okay, like just kind of pause and check and see like what's needed here. So check, comfort, correct, confirm. That's kind of the framework. And it's fascinating. So he does kind of the same thing. Jesus and Peter, so after Peter denies Jesus, Jesus comes to him at, like after he's been resurrected, and he does a very similar thing in restoring Peter. And he also does this with Jonah. And so there's a few other examples like very similar. And like another thing I found fascinating is, so one of the books I read early on was No Drama Discipline. And that's kind of basically, it's very, very similar to the framework that they have in that book. And those are not, I don't think they're believers, but like, it's interesting that from their observations that basically God has been doing that for thousands of years before that. And we're kind of just now discovering this gentle parenting concept, but it's been around for thousands of years. Also very similar. I noticed you had earlier in our earlier podcast on the chaos, Dana Abraham, amazing, amazing person. And it's very similar to kind of her model too. So it's cool to kind of just see that like validation of like, this is how God has built parenting to be. And we're just kind of discovering that. But yeah, he's been doing that all along.
Yeah, that is so cool to see. Yeah, all of the similar methodologies and tactics, and it all kind of comes back to the way God did the example from the beginning, if we were looking at it in his word. And I love that you start in your variation of the check, because we do need real big about noticing and awareness here. And so it's that self-awareness and awareness of others before you move. And as you were sharing the story of Elijah, I was just kind of taking some notes on some key points. And I just thought, yeah, it completely aligns, especially like dealing with a toddler. Like you start out cranky, which is normally how do you have that awareness check. I'm like, all right, we're cranky. We fulfill a basic need. God provided food and rest. And then in that, like once you fulfill a basic need, because a lot of times we're cranky because we're hungry or we're tired or whatever, you know, our kids have those core things. And just that God kind of meets us where we're at and where like our basic needs are and get us to calm. And that I hadn't thought through that as much. And I think it's really cool about his power. And yes, we are bigger than our kids and we can invoke like, well, I'm the adult, I'm the parent, and this is what you do. But that he showed that really the way you get through and get through something and change is that quiet, personal, like God is always so personal with our heart. And we don't have to shout and yell and demand, that we can just like get smaller and more on their level and very intimate and share. And then that he doesn't just instruct and walk away, but it's confirmation in who God has called them to be and like their purpose. And so I love that the finishing is not just when we correct and are like, okay, this is not okay behavior, but to not leave our kids deflated and to be like, hey, but you are still amazing. This is just a behavior you did. You as a person, that behavior is not you as a person. And to just affirm them. So I love this whole trajectory and that you have summed that up in your comfort, correct, confirm. And so I feel like that's really practical. And even you guys, so if you just remember comfort, correct, confirm, that in his book, that's a simple way, because it's just, like you said, it's all so much. And I had loved, I'd seen on your website, bridging the gap between information and living. And I feel like that's really where I'm at in a lot of this. So there's so much good information that like we need, and it's helpful to like know the tools and know the strategies. But like you said, in the moment, I can have heard something and I'm like, I know I could kind of repeat what was said, but I don't know how to translate it in the moment, especially when we've been doing one behavior for so long. So yeah, I love that kind of your mission in this book is be like, okay, let's take information and just how do we really practically carry this out and have that insight. And one piece, like I had mentioned earlier, is to not forget God is our partner in this parenting role. He has made us parents, and that he doesn't just, like we just said, he doesn't just pass it over and like, good luck, that he's with you and showing you and confirming. And so how to really remember to tap into God is there to help us in our parenting and to ask questions and help him guide us. And to, I'd love for you to go into a little bit kind of how you were talking about really directing our kids to like his character and forming their character, not just developing like, okay, you're my kids, I want you to be good and sit still and say the right things and do the right things. Like, what's like some appropriate thoughts on like, how do we go outside of just like check boxes of like, I want a good kid? Like, how do we bring God into the equation here and have him help us like with their character in light of him?
Yeah. So I was thinking about this. I think for me, my journey has kind of been with this. Like growing up, I had the mindset that kind of the good news of Jesus dying for our failures and forgiving us, that was like the entryway. That was like the Christianity 101, or the ABCs of Christianity, if you will. And then you kind of move on to being just a good person with the help of his spirit kind of thing, and just following him in obedience. But the gospel was kind of just something that got you in the door. And then you kind of just like try hard to be good, and he just kind of helps you in some magical way. So that was kind of like my understanding of the role of the gospel and the spirit for a long time. But then someone introduced me to teaching that really showed like the good news of Jesus's sacrifice is so much more. There's so much nuance to it that gives us practical help for everything that we face to not just be good, but to have that awe of who God is and that worship. And so if like before I thought of it as kind of the gospel was like the ABCs, this kind of led me to realize it's like it's A to Z, it's everything. And so I wanted to use anger as an example. Anger is such a huge part of parenting. We get angry, kids get angry, and what we do with that anger can be extremely damaging. But anger is it's an indicator light, like on a car telling you to check the engine. Anger is telling you something's going on internally that you can't see, and so you need to check that out. And so one of the tools in the book, I've distilled the internal causes of anger into five categories. And they're all kind of negative identity beliefs, or beliefs that you have about yourself or perceive that others have about you that are negative. And so it's feeling unwanted, unseen, not good enough, helpless, or unlucky. So those are kind of the five things that if you're kind of believing that about yourself, or that someone is not wanting you, or that someone thinks you're not good enough, that will kind of spark these behavior things. And that goes for both parents and kids. So just taking like unseen. So I think that's like a common one for kids. A lot of times they can feel just unseen. So, I mean, maybe that could be literally, but I'm thinking more of like where there's skills, ideas, uniqueness, passions, dreams, opinions, kind of more like who they are, who they really are. Like they just feel like that goes unseen. And a lot of times, like we as parents can make them feel like that unintentionally. But a lot of times, like we can just be so busy. And so they can feel unseen by us. And so the kids kind of, they resort to acting out in anger. So there can be all these kind of behavior issues that come up. And you're just kind of, man, where is this coming from? And so you kind of do some digging, and you realize it's because they just feel like they're just not being seen. And so I think like a non-Christian parent can address this once you identify it and realize that maybe you were unintentionally the cause of it. You can kind of ask for forgiveness and reconcile, and like that's something that anyone could do of any faith or any belief. But I think the gospel gives us so much more, and I think so. This is where I think it really comes to your question. What if it's not the parent? What if it's a best friend, or like a best friend that the child has had for years, and but they're like transitioning to a different friend group, and so they kind of feel unseen by that friend. And what if it's true? Like, what if it's true that your child just isn't being seen by this friend anymore? And what if they're not apologetic? What if they're not trying to seek reconciliation? What if, like, you kind of instruct your child to try to reconcile things, and it just doesn't work? But if we've done our work of showing how amazing God is as the creator of all good things, he made everything and everyone that we love, and every good thing, everything that your child loves, and like it points back to who God is. If we show that and do that work and give them kind of that baseline of just really valuing God, and seeing that, like, every story that we love, just every good thing points back to who he is. If we've done that work, then we can not only just empathize with the grief that they have of losing their friend. I think that's important. That's the first step. Empathize and really connect. And, like, yeah, it is, it's very sad and heartbreaking that you're losing your friend. But we can also genuinely say that they'll always have, like, the best friend in the world through Jesus. And we can know, because of the gospel, that he sees us. He sees everything that, like, who we really are. He sees everything about our desires better than anyone else. And I think a lot of times that could be scary. Like, he knows the dark things too. But through the gospel, we know that not only does he see everything about us, but he loves us like crazy. Like, his default knee-jerk reaction to you always is a huge smile of approval and love. And that, I think, just gives us this foundation that no matter what happens, no matter who we're unseen by, there's this foundation that I'm seen, known, and loved by this incredible person. I think that just enables us to give our kids this, just, they can't get crushed by anything, because there's always that to fall back on.
Yeah, I was going to say it's that unshakable foundation that
Yeah.
God is unchanging and always there and always seeing them. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, like, sad things will happen. Grief is real. Like, loss is real. Whatever it is, like, there's going to be hard times, and it's okay to be sad. It's okay to mourn, to grieve. But there's that foundation of, I'm okay. Like, nothing can truly, like, just crush me. And so, like, the gospel gives us that, yeah, that foundation that we can give to our kids.
So helpful and a reminder for us as the parents too, as we constantly feel like we're messing up and trying to do better, that God is constant and always there for us and wanting to help us. And it's so nice to know in all of the chaos of the world and the parenting and figuring out what's right today, that's the right thing to do, tomorrow it's not, and just like to know, like, okay, God's character is the same. I can rely on him and who he says I am. And to teach our kids, like, that's the most important. Like, who does God say you are? Yeah, no one else can beat God. So what he says wins, basically. So you've mentioned a couple of your tools in the book, and just to help us work through practically, are there any other insights or tools you wanted to share with us and make sure we heard about when it comes to parenting our kids in a godly way?
Yeah, so really, the biggest thing, and so whether your listeners get the book or not, I think something they could take away, the biggest thing that really helped me, I was reading, I mentioned earlier, No Drama Discipline. Very highly recommend it. It's so good. So while I was reading that and struggling to apply it to every day, I was also reading this book, SEAL Team 6 by Navy SEAL Howard Wasdin. So that's obviously not a parenting book, but it's actually, I think it's an excellent parenting book. So he has this quote that he says multiple times in the book: the more you sweat in peacetime, the less you bleed in war. And that's kind of like the training motto of SEALs. I mean, like, just the training that they go through is just ridiculously hard. But the reason they do that is so that they bleed less in war. I mean, they're the elite, they're the top, they're the best of the best. And so I was kind of, as I was reading that alongside this other book, I was like, I kind of realized, like, I'm being very passive with my parenting. Like, I'm only addressing things as they come up, and I'm not really, like, during peacetime, I'm not really doing much work into, like, kind of figuring out how to be a better parent. I mean, I was reading these books, but I wasn't, like, doing the work of, okay, this keeps happening. While it's not happening, what can we do to, like, address it? And what can we do to talk about it with our kids? Like, what can we do the next time it happens? That kind of, like, spending time to really think through those questions, I wasn't doing that. And so when the quote-unquote wartime came, there was a lot of metaphorical bleeding. So the thing that really helped, and what I would encourage people to do, just take like 30 minutes, whatever it is, once a week, and just sit down and take a challenge that you're facing frequently, or like just the challenge that's driving you crazy, and just take time to just think through it and ask these questions of, like, what would God do? Like, how would God's character and kind of that framework of comfort, correct and confirm, how can I apply that to this situation? And just kind of take time when it's not happening during the peacetime, to really workshop that yourself. And you'll be surprised, like, just how much you could come up with just on your own.
Yeah, that's so, I just want to jump in because that's so true. Like, one of the things you learn, like, for kids is that the logic part of their brain, if they even have that developed yet, depending on how old your kids are, anyway, that, like, part of your brain, if you're in that reactionary mode, you're not thinking through logic. So if you wait till the war is there and you're having the problems, you're not going to be able to calmly brainstorm ideas like you can during a peaceful time. So it's so empowering and helpful to have pre-planned something. So you go into that situation being like, okay, I'm using my logic brain. Like, I know, I've already thought about this is how we're going to try handling it this time. And you're way less reactive and angry. So I just wanted to, like, amplify that for a second to be like, yes, please, you guys, seriously, it's such a game changer to think through this when you're not in the moment.
Totally, totally. And I think, I mean, I make the excuse still, just like, we're so busy and there's just so much going on and the kids grow so fast, we don't have time to not take time to do this. The earlier we tackle these things, the easier it is in the long run. And so just taking 30, 60, 90 minutes and then just kind of, yeah, building a battle plan, sweat in the peacetime. And that'll kind of lead you to also maybe have a conversation with your kids during the peacetime, and you can kind of figure out what's going on with them during those times as well. And you can talk with them about it when, like you're saying, like when they're connected, when their logic brain is connected. And you could, like with smaller kids, you can do things like play therapy and stuff like that, where, for example, if they really like Bluey and they have this Bluey house, and so you can have them kind of be themselves and you be the parent, and you can kind of reenact the situation, and you can find out a lot about their view of the situation through that playtime. And that kind of, like, enables them to say more than they would just if you kind of directly ask them.
Yes, that is so true. That's such a good tip, you guys. Yeah, if you're like, so why did you do this in that situation? They're going to be defensive and be like, oh, I don't know. But if you're playing and it's somebody else going through the circumstance, then yeah, they get to act it out, and it's not, and it reveals so much truth of where they're coming from. So great tip. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, totally. So yeah, they'll fill it in with kind of their understanding of the situation. So get
on. Yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of my biggest thing that really helped me a lot, was just taking more time in the peacetime to really do that work. And that just made the quote unquote war times so much easier to deal with, because I had a plan.
Thank you so much for sharing through this journey of just understanding our core need with parenting and just tapping into God's character and teaching our kids that foundation. And then just I'm always like, okay, how do we legit do the thing? So thank you for the practical way to bring it in and be like, okay, what does this look like? Now, if they want to, I highly recommend checking out the book. So please tell us where they find that or connect with you more and really dig into these insights.
Yeah, so it'll be releasing on Amazon on May 20th. In the first 3 days, it'll be free on Kindle. So if you have Kindle Unlimited, I believe it is, you'll be able to just download it for free, just those first 3 days. Kind of more information, you can go to our website, gracecenter.life. So some part of the one of the tools is there's these kind of guided meditation scripts to kind of really let the gospel sink in with some of these truths, especially in addressing like the anger stuff, because knowing is one thing, but like letting it sink in is something else entirely. And so we have kind of these scripts for guided meditation. And so on our website, we're going to have audio recordings of those. And then I'm constantly kind of adjusting the tools and adding new tools. So those will be on the website as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing and just that we're all in this together, you guys. We're all trying to figure it out and how to do the best job we can. So thank you so much. I loved the whole theme of this conversation of really pursuing God's character, that's what we fall back on, like that's the foundation and the core. And so I hope you're encouraged by that, like, really practical thing to keep in your mind. And also just to remember, it's kind of the four-step process, but to check, like, check the emotions, and then we comfort, correct, and confirm. Like, that's the three-step process through those challenging behaviors: comfort, correct, confirm. So take that with you today and feel empowered to make good choices as much as possible. And having that plan before you're in the heat of the moment is going to help you so much to get through those moments with your kids and to feel better about how you respond to them. It's hard work, don't get me wrong, but it is so rewarding when you see the difference of the way you interact with your kids like this, how the outcomes are different. And it gives you that strength to keep going and know this is the right path. Most of all, just keep pursuing God, you guys, and lean on Him through this parenting journey. And I hope you'll join me in the June subscription box for Monthly Momentum, where we go over parenting, and these quick strategies and tips are going to be already like printed and fun ways to keep them top of mind for you. The work is done for you, it's there, and makes it easier for you to implement. Please join mommadeplans.com/box. And don't forget about Peter's book that, especially right now, is free if you have Kindle, and just to go check it out and support him and the call that God put on his heart to share this insight, which I think is super powerful for us. All right, moms, you got this.